The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I was really thinking of this. I was out there for Justin Verlander's game on Tuesday night, and he's thrown a no-hitter.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought, I said, which JV is better at their job? Jeff Van Gundy, JVG, at broadcasting games, or Justin Verlander at pitching? And you could make the argument that, well, the greatest in the game right now is Jeff Van Gundy. And Justin Verlander maybe is right up there, but is he the greatest in the game?
So you're just going to act like Hubie Brown does things? You're not going to show some respect to the great Hubie Brown?
The best is Jeff Van Gundy, and he's joining
us. I'm a fan of Jeff Van Gundy, but I think Coach would even acknowledge, all right, when we get a chance to rebound, pull it off the glass, and go. I mean, when Hubie, there's something about Hubie I still love, too.
Yeah. Jeff Van Gundy joining us right now. I think the greatest in the game. Well, Lance. Okay, why don't you go to Hubie Brown as an interview?
Coach, I'm just trying to show some respect to the great Hubie Brown as well. Look what he does. Look what he turns it into.
Mm-hmm. No, listen. When he says in the painted area, yeah. Like that is like the greatest. He doesn't say in the paint. In the painted area. It's awesome. And there is no question between me and Justin Verlander, that's as big a blowout as you could have. Verlander the other night, I thought he was going to get the no-hitter. I really did. I thought it was, like, over.
The stuff was good. You weren't facing the most deadly lineup.
No,
there was a
but
lot
Jose Abreu,
working there. Yeah.
That's all you had was Jose Abreu.
We got you.
And he took care of that business. Jeff Van Gundy with us here. I was out at Wildcat yesterday, Coach. Well, by the way, we have sold out our golf tournament, which is going to benefit ProVision. Mm-hmm. So we got some money already raised.
Already raised.
Now we got silent auctions. We need to get some stuff. If you can find anything from anybody and you want to bring it by, we'll have a captive audience. People would love to bid on something, a Jeff Van Gundy autographed basketball or something, anything that we can raise some more money.
How about this? You know what I like to do, because I like human interaction in this phone age? Like, how about like a lunch for four that I'll like take people out?
Yeah.
If anybody wants to do that.
That's
absolutely
awesome. Yeah.
Well, let's auction it right now.
Yeah.
How about this? We'll start the bidding. We'll just start it at 100, and that way you guys can just fire it up. So it's a lunch for 3 + 1, right, Coach? 3 people with you?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Whatever. Got another one, yeah, it don't matter.
Whatever. Yeah. So let's do that, and we're going to raise money for ProVision, and that's what the golf tournament on June 5th is all about. And Wildcat was just in great shape. It was wonderful. We had a great time out there at the U of H golf tournament, and we're going to have a great time out there on June 5th as well, and we're raising money for ProVision. So anybody wants to bid on a lunch with Jeff Van Gundy?
I tell you what. After the break, we'll figure out how we're going to do it, and we're going to throw it out there today.
Okay. Right.
We'll do that
for you.
Yeah. Yeah. 713-780-3776. That's awesome. And I know, listen, to sit with and hear your stories and to get the insight of a Jeff Van Gundy, that is
good.
Awesome
it's
stuff.
It's good stuff.
That's fun.
It's a lot of fun. Coach, speaking of insights, you know, you look at John and I had like an argument, but it's really, what are you even arguing? Who's better, Portland or Houston? Who cares? The whole point came up that the Portland Trail Blazers had double-digit leads in 3 games, and yet they got swept. And it's really crystallized for me. You know what? The Rockets are as good and maybe better at times for the first 85% of a game, but who cares? If you can't play the last 15% of the game, if you can't execute against them because they're great executors over the last 15% of a game, you just can't beat them because they can just close you out. Even if they're behind, it doesn't matter. They're the horse that has the kick at the end.
Well, yeah, they have this elite player in Curry that is unique in that he plays as well with the ball in pick and rolls as he does off the ball. And he's always attracting the second defender. And so that's going to bring a lot of 4-on-3 situations. And so because of that, they do have the ability to come back, and they have a great defensive mentality. It doesn't show itself all the time, but in the playoffs, it's shown itself more and more. And you're right, like the comebacks against Portland, they almost seemed, you know, like inevitable. Like you're holding your breath, hoping the clock runs out for Portland versus, you know, continuing to try to build on a lead and attack them. And so I give Golden State a lot of credit. I think in some ways you've seen the same thing. You know, like, these series are so close. Toronto wins game three at home in overtime. They're about to go down 3-0. And now they somehow get that win in overtime, and now they're up 3-2 with a chance to close it out to go to the finals. These series, they're close, and there's not much separation between the teams. And sometimes when you have the best player on the floor, that's all the separation you need to get over the hump.
But that's, well, a lot of people would.
But that's why Kawhi Leonard feels like he's one of those closers.
Well, that's like, look what he's shutting down Giannis. I mean, look at, they talk about, you know, he was second team all defense, whatever. It's, Kawhi may be the best defender in the league, and he's shutting, he's doing an unbelievable job against Giannis. But this kind of stuff, Coach, when you're playing a 7-game series, you see the same guy, you got a game plan for the same guy over and over and over again. While Giannis may have been the best player night in and night out against different teams, when you got to face the same guy every night, there's a chance that you could do what Kawhi is doing to him right now.
Well, there's no doubt, and think about it. Usually, you know, there's so much like over talk about adjustments. Usually the adjustment from game to game is either a guy you play or don't play, or a matchup that, you know, you guard Giannis with Siakam, or you decide then to go to Kawhi Leonard. Those subtle matchup or playing rotation adjustments are usually much more significant to the outcome than some new play or new scheme. So I think that gets overdone. And you're right, like Leonard, you can make the case so far, he has been as valuable as any player in the playoffs to their outcome. And he has had absolutely dominant performances in close, hard-fought games when they've absolutely needed his best.
Is there, we've been talking about that, Gene. And oh, by the way, I know this kind of stuff, but The Athletic had an article about Chris Paul and James Harden having a tiff after Game 6, and there was a lot of talk about, you know, too much ball stoppage and not enough ball movement and all of this stuff. But could you see that with the style of play that the Rockets have, that other guys might get frustrated in this organization?
Well, I think losing gets you frustrated. Listen, the Rockets play a different style, and for the most part, I think it served them well. And I think what happens is when you run up against an all-time team, which the Warriors certainly are, and you consistently lose to that team, there is going to be frustration at the moment of truth because you're close, but you're not getting over the hump. We had the same thing when I was with the Knicks against the Bulls. Time and again, we put together championship-level teams, and at the moment of truth, we could play a 7-game series, we could lose in 6 or 5 or whatever, close, hard-fought games, we couldn't get over the hump. And that does bring about angst and stress and frustration, all of those emotions, right? And so it doesn't surprise me that players would be upset afterwards. I think you'd have the wrong players if you didn't have a little bit of that.
Right. And you know, Coach, sometimes I wonder, an existentialist here, but I mean, I just wonder what it matters. I'm not sure what you can do right now at this point. You don't stop. You keep going and you keep tweaking. But I wonder how close it really is. If you can't, I know it feels close, but I really wonder at times how close the Rockets really are, because it's the same kind of stuff that keeps happening. Like, what are you going to do to eliminate the terrible, dumb turnovers in the last 2 minutes of a game? What personnel move can Daryl Morey make to eliminate bad turnovers? This is the kind of thing that creeps up all the time, and that is an execution issue. I don't know that the Rockets can do a lot more from a roster standpoint than what they've done. At some point, execution has to take place.
Well, it's interesting you said you're talking about that dilemma. How close are you? And that's where your persistence and your grit to keep going in the face of negative results is so critical, right? Because sometimes you don't even know how close you are or how far away you are. All I know is there's no question that to me in the Western Conference, the Rockets are the second best team, right? So where you want to put them, you know, how close to Golden State or how far away, whatever you think that gap is, there's no going back. I mean, you have to keep persisting and altering. You know, it might be a roster spot. It may be a rotation. It may be a scheme here or there. But there's sometimes you don't know how close you are, but sometimes you're not as far away as you think you are. And as far as what you're saying about the turnovers or whatever's gone wrong, and I'm sure they've done a lot of self-study about, you know, what the difference is, mm-hmm. It comes down to this. They're playing against a great, great team.
Right.
And they've had their swings. You know, game 6 last year, game 7 last year. Like, why couldn't they finish? Game 6 this year, why couldn't they finish? You have to come up with whatever you think the answers are as an organization and then address them. You can't be, and I never thought the Rockets were. This is one thing I appreciate about them. They're not afraid to study and to self-critique. And I'm sure sometimes it's painful because I believe they're close, but, you know, it becomes like this thing where it's the one team. It's the one team that's in their way. And Pat Riley used to always say, some teams are just born at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. And he felt that the Dallas Mavericks back in the 80s when he was at the Lakers and rolling, he thought they were a championship-level team born at the wrong time because the Lakers were in their way. He felt the same way about our Knicks against the Jordan Bulls. And right now, Houston has that same dilemma against a great Golden State dynasty.
That's why blowing it up is just not, I just don't think it's an option. But I do think you have to be honest with yourself that this is a quickly aging team with some real concerns from a cap standpoint now, which Daryl Morey's always been brilliant at being able to navigate around cap concerns and still have the ability to maneuver. I want to ask you this question. This one's a little tougher to answer, I think. How does the change of ownership from Les Alexander, who was a little more, I think, you know him, you were there with him. I felt like maybe he's a little more hands-off than Tillman Fertitta. You certainly haven't worked for Tillman Fertitta. How do you think the ownership change alters, it, or if it alters at all, the way that the Rockets move forward?
Well, I think it's hard to judge that unless you've worked with the person. I'll say this. When I have ever evaluated ownership, and this goes back to my Knick days, people want to say this guy's a good owner or a bad owner. The only criteria to me is commitment to winning. And do they give you everything you needed to win? And in New York with the Jim Dolan, he gave us that. No complaints. In Houston, with Les Alexander, absolutely no complaints. Gave us everything we needed to win. The one thing he was more reluctant to do, because it was a different day in the NBA, was to enter the luxury tax, right? I think he may well have, if Daryl or Carol Dawson brought to him a deal that he thought made sense to enter the luxury tax with. But I think with Tillman, it seems to me like he's willing, from all statements, to go into the luxury tax, to pursue winning, to give them all they need to win. So I think that's how you judge it. And obviously, you don't want to overreact to bad results. And I thought Les did that very well. And, you know, right now, you know, Tillman has only had the club a couple years, and they've gotten great results, but I'm sure also they're frustrated in that, you know, both years they lost to the same team when they had, in my mind, the ability if everything went perfectly to win it. And it is frustrating, but I think you stay the course. You've got a great general manager, a great president, a great coach, and one of the elite players in the game in James Harden. So you have a lot of good things going for you. You just have to keep persisting, keep trying to improve. And also don't underestimate the fact that the Warriors could change. You know, their roster could change. They could come back to the pack more. And if they do, maybe you don't have to improve as much as maybe they come back to you. But there's also other good teams that are out there in the Western Conference. They have three of the top four picks in the draft. I mean, it continues to be a challenge. And you're right. The roster, you don't want a roster to get old, you know, and that catch up on you. And I'm sure Daryl will do whatever he can to tweak, improve, and regenerate his roster going forward.
Jeff Van Gundy with us on ESPN 97.5. Before you go, Coach, you're not a better team without Kevin Durant. And you're never going to be better. However, you look at the record when he's out, what is it, 31-1 or something ridiculous. And when Steph is out, you know, 22-22. So, and yet, you look at how they play when Kevin Durant isn't there, and it looks like it's so much more fun. It's just unbelievable, the ball movement and everything else, as opposed to ball stoppage. Where are you on that with Kevin Durant and how well they play without him?
Well, let me start with how they play with him, okay? Because the one thing that Bill Parcells used to say over and over again that I couldn't agree with more is your record is what your record is. You know, I mean, you can't make it up. You can't, you know,
you are a story. Yeah, you are what your record is.
Yeah,
whatever.
You are what your record is. Right? So that's the truth, right? So here's Durant's record with the Warriors. Two championships in 2 years. Right?
Right.
Yeah. Two championships in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all because of him? No. But he was Finals MVP twice in 2 years. So anybody can tell me 31-1. All I know is in his 2 years, they've gotten to the mountaintop twice. Mm-hmm. Now, you also can't dispute that Curry, Thompson, Green, and their team has achieved remarkably well without one of the great players to ever play the game. Like, even though it's in a small amount of sample of 32 games, I mean, what you're saying, 31-1, I don't care if you were playing the Cleveland Cavaliers of this year 32 times. You would be hard-pressed to win 31 of 32 games in that situation. So to be able to do that against really good teams, like, you think about it. They went to Houston in game six and won on the road, right? Then they go and sweep Portland. Yes, they were down. But to come back like they did in those two road games at Portland, a terrific accomplishment. And then they miss Iguodala in game four, so they're down Iguodala, Cousins, and Durant, and they're able to win those games. So impressive. So I think people are trying to make a case that doesn't need to be made. They've been great with Durant. You couldn't have been better with Durant. You won two championships in 2 years. But this remarkable run without Durant, you can't also overlook that and just how great their team, their coaching staff, and their individual players have been able to perform without a great, great player.
It's Jeff Van Gundy right here on ESPN 97.5. Coach, we appreciate it. ProVision, I know it's important to you. We're raising money for that. June 5th, we're going to be out at Wildcat Golf Club.
Can you believe that people paid $1,000 to play with me and $1,000 with John? Anyone would do something like that?
Well, first of all, I'm pumped up that they did. I can't believe they did, but... And if my lunch goes for less than playing with you knuckleheads, I'm going to be depressed, okay?
Hey, Coach,
but
I already
am so thankful. I am so thankful for you guys and your station's support of ProVision in this way, not just the money, which is terrific, but also raising awareness for a remarkable place with remarkable kids, staff members, and leadership.
Very much.
Awesome. Well, yeah, what Ronell is doing is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So that's great stuff. We appreciate you being here and taking the time to hang with us. Great stuff, Coach. As always, we're going to sell that. And we got to get more than 1,000.
And don't miss Jeff Van Gundy. He's in Game of Zones. One of my kids said, I can't believe you know someone from Game of Zones. Yeah. I said, you mean the coach who coached the Rockets and who coached the Knicks and who's gone to NBA Finals? What are you? I know somebody from Game of Zones. That's a character on a cartoon. Yeah. What are you talking about?
There you go. I've been reduced to a cartoon character.
That's how you're famous now. Game of Zones. Congratulations.
All right, thanks, Coach.
All right, Coach.
All right, take care, guys.
That's Jeff Van Gundy.
We're going to take care. So John and I will put our heads together, and we'll come up with a concept here, because it might be better just to sell tickets to this thing that everyone who pays a certain amount can go, and we just set up a larger venue, maybe the first 10 people, something like that.
Yeah.
Because we raise more money that way.
So we'll figure that out right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, let's do some champion.
I can promise you this. You go with Jeff Van Gundy to a lunch, you're blown. I've done this a few times. Blown away.
Yep.
It's one of the best things you'll ever experience.
Yep. There's no question about that. Right now, though, let's talk about you're going to be a champion if you're hanging out with Jeff Van Gundy. 1560energy.com. That's 1560energy.com. It is the place to go. It's hot out. You're using your air conditioning, and your bill is going up, and you're wondering, what the heck? Why am I paying all of this money? Stop. You don't have to. I have had friends that have done it. Going, okay, well, I'll try it. You talk to me. Okay, I've been listening to this for how long now? And they go over and they're like, oh my God, it's true. It really is true. You're going to spend less money because they don't kill you with the fees. The other guys could have better rates. They could have all this other stuff going on, nights and weekends and blah, blah, blah. And you're still going to spend more. 1560energy.com. Spend more this summer. This is when it's going to really cost you. 1560energy.com.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Apologize for the long break, but that was we combined breaks so that we could have Jeff Van Gundy on for a while. We got a nice long segment here with you. And we want to start the bidding on having lunch with Jeff Van Gundy. It'll be four of you with Jeff. That's a five top. And it's a lunch. And we're raising money for ProVision, something that's really important to him. He's on their board. He may even be the chairman of the board. I don't know. He's on the board, though. I know that. And it's very important to Jeff Van Gundy. So we're going to start the bidding at $400. That's $100 a person to have lunch with Jeff Van Gundy.
But it's one group. You're responsible for coming up with your foursome.
Yeah, we'll get you in touch with Jeff Van Gundy, and you guys can all agree on a spot. We'll figure out a spot, but we're going to figure out the time when it's for everyone involved, when it's convenient. So we'll do that. So we got to do one group as opposed to individuals and everybody coming together, because that's too hard to organize. So you and three of your friends going with Jeff Van Gundy starts at $400. And I am going to bid the $400 to start.
Okay.
All right.
Good job.
I'm bidding $400 right now to go have lunch with Jeff Van Gundy. Next, you got to come in at 713-780-3776 with at least $500.
So I can tell you this. One time, the coolest dinner I've ever been a part of, it was me, Chris Ballard. He was a Bear Scout at the time here in town. Alonzo Highsmith, who was with Green Bay. John Hoke, DB coach of Houston Texans. Jeff Van Gundy. Dennis Lindsay, who was with the Rockets, was invited, but but he couldn't make it. John Harris, Jay Bird, and
well, let me interrupt this for just a second. I already have a bid for a thousand. We have a bid for a thousand from Crash.
Crash Harmon?
Yeah.
Oh wow! Yeah. Wow. Well, I can't, what I was going to say is that was incredible, and Van Gundy got to be friends with all those guys in that day. I've since then I've been to lunches with them probably about five or six times. It is without question one of the top three highlights of every year that I've done that. It's that good.
Yeah.
It's that good because he cares what you have to say, but he has so much information.
Mm-hmm.
It's a I'm telling you, it is really worth. And if you're a guy who's a bigwig at a company and you want to fire something on here,
and
do it.
Funny stories. Yeah, you can bring clients to this. That
well, you better tell your boy Crash we're at 1,500. So
we're at 15?
And step his game up.
Jeff Van Gundy's that
step
dude.
Up your game, Crash. How'd you hear that? How's that taste? 1,500 already. How about Jeff Van Gundy's kid? It took us the whole show to get 1,000 for us.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, because jerks. It's about supply and demand. They get a supply of you guys talking your nonsense every day.
No, that's not it.
That's not nonsensical.
Probably because they would say, oh, let's see. Let me bid to go out in the summer heat for 4.5, 5 hours. And they say, oh, I can just do this lunch in 2 hours and be done in air conditioning. That's probably what it is.
How about the amazing stories I'm going to be telling about how drunk I was at this day or
I call that on Tuesday. The show.
Yeah. That's just a Wednesday.
I don't know
if
you guys know this. You guys aren't that entertaining.
Well,
I wouldn't say that.
Here's the problem with
not
my
to
stories.
Pay for.
My stories about how drunk I was, I don't remember any of them. So
that's helpful.
That's a problem. So we're at 1,500 and counting. So let's go.
713-780-3776. It is a write-off, tax-wise, by the way, for Pro-V.
And it's, you get to, by the way, have lunch with Jeff Van Gundy. Okay?
Yeah, this is really an awesome, this is really going to be an awesome opportunity for you.
Ricky says, how about 1,700?
Wow, 1,700?
How about that? That's what Ricky just said. He said, take your 1,500, shove it. How's that?
It's easy to say over the phone, but get your name and your information, because can we trust this man to follow through with that 1,700?
Who, Ricky?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
Dick Harmon's son. Give his information to our intern, just so we
know. We'll get it. That's Dick Harmon's
son. I got Ricky's
information.
I trust Ricky.
Okay.
Harmon? You don't trust a Harmon?
I don't know a Harmon.
He doesn't know a Harmon.
You don't know nothing about Harmon.
I know their names, but I don't know them.
You don't know nothing about Harmon.
Hey, what are we at right now?
1,700.
All right, 1,700. So it's got to fire at 1,800. It's going to get to at least, I think it'll get
We're going
2,000.
In $100 increments, or are we doing the prices right where it can be $50?
No, it's $100 increments.
100.
713.
Okay, 1,701.
713.
No. You don't think Jeff Van Gundy will take $1 more?
Nope.
Hey,
yes,
listen
he would.
To me.
He
okay,
would.
Wait. The Jeff Van Gundy out of season. Hey, listen to me, okay? You guys. And then when we'd have Jeff in season, he'd be like, I mean, we've got a lot of things we got to work on. I mean, we're not defending right now. He was like different guys.
We're just really a terrible basketball team right now. No. He is. No. Coach Van Gundy and Lunch Van Gundy.
We got a pertinent question about Lunch Van Gundy.
Go ahead.
What will be the lunch and who's paying for the lunch?
So the lunch will be taken care of.
Yeah, we're going to take care of that.
The lunch will be taken care of.
We'll get that taken care of.
Yeah, right. I'm working with restaurant. We'll have the lunch taken care of. That's not going to be a problem. And where it will be determined here probably in the next probably in the next hour.
We'll give them some love. We'll give them some love.
Yeah.
But we're only doing this segment, so let's go. It's at 1,700 as we speak. So don't be scared. You know, spend a little money. This is a great. You're right. It's a write-off. And, by the way, a great way to entertain clients. Okay, look what I did for you. I got you lunch with Jeff Van Gundy. Okay, that is something that your clients won't forget. And you get to write it off. Oh, my goodness. How smart is that? All right?
Fantastic.
713-780-3776 if you want to bid on this. In the meantime, you guys agree with this? Okay, so ranking college football quarterback tiers from Heisman contenders to grad transfers. They've got tier one. These quarterbacks have All-American and award season aspirations, which include the Heisman Trophy. Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Jake Fromm, Sam Ehlinger, and Justin Herbert. You putting Ehlinger in that category?
No.
Well, from your perspective, as far as pro quarterback.
No, I'm,
but as far as college quarterback and his production,
no. Are we talking high? What's the criteria here? What are we talking about?
Well, this is exactly what it is. These quarterbacks have All American and award season aspirations, which include the Heisman Trophy. That's what the tier one is. I don't know that he's Trevor Lawrence, but what he does for what he does for the University of Texas and what he means to that offense, his production. He was 25-5 last year. He had 3,296 yards passing, which on this list ranked second only to Tua. Trevor Lawrence was third, although Trevor Lawrence didn't come in right away. He didn't start right away. And then Herbert, and then Jake Fromm was last with 27-49. But he had 25 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, which ain't bad. And he ran for 482 yards, which was by far the most of any of these quarterbacks. And he had 16 touchdowns, rushing TDs, which is triple.
He's productive. I like Sam Ehlinger. I always have liked him. He's not going to be able to produce on the same level to be a Heisman caliber quarterback. That's just not going to happen. I don't see that happening for him.
If they win big, he will certainly be a Heisman candidate.
I just don't think the numbers are coming.
His numbers are, he was second in passing and by far first in rushing on this list. And
how many passing yards did he end up with?
He ended up with 3,300.
Yeah.
What was the Heisman winner? What did Kyler wind up with last year?
Well,
because the numbers have to be astronomical when you're talking about
Heisman. Well, Tua finished second and he had 39.
Well, they always pointed to the fact that he never had to play in the fourth quarter.
Trevor Lawrence, who everybody was. Well,
He didn't start right away for the first four games.
But he was 3,300. And Justin Herbert, who's considered a Heisman guy, 3,150.
Anyone who saw Justin Herbert last year wouldn't have called him a Heisman guy.
Yeah.
I know it's been Oklahoma quarterback, so the numbers are out there. But we know the numbers have been ridiculous for those two. So Ehlinger would have to, unless there's a down year in passing yards for quarterbacks, Ehlinger would have to probably, those numbers have to bump up because Kyler threw for 4,300, over 4,300 yards.
4,361.
And you throw in another 1,000 yards rushing for Kyler Murray. He accounted for over 5,300 yards of offense from the quarterback position.
Right. Well, I don't know that Ehlinger's, why would Ehlinger's numbers go down this year?
I'm not saying they would go down, but does he have that level of production in him? Does the Texas offense have that?
I mean, who has Kyler Murray? I mean,
I'm just pointing out
a ridiculous season with Kyler Murray. Let's not compare him to Kyler Murray.
Well, I'm comparing him to the two Heisman winners, and you're mentioning Heismans. And if Tua wanted to, Tua could have got to over 4,000 yards. Alabama just didn't need him to.
Right. Tua did, well, he did have over 4,000.
Well, passing?
No. Tua was out of the game in the fourth quarter, right?
So we know Tua's fully capable. That Alabama offense is fully capable, at least last year, of getting Tua over 4,000 yards and maybe far exceeding 4,000. So the numbers are going to have to increase quite a bit for Sam. Obviously, the winning will help too.
Okay, the winning, I think, is the most important thing.
Well, that
because Ehlinger's production is going to be good. It's going to be really good.
Yeah.
That he's got to be in the playoff. He's going to have to be in the playoffs.
So, look, I think Ehlinger will be in the discussion. He is going to score rushing touchdowns. We know that already. He's going to have rushing yards. That's a key component to being mentioned in that kind of company. I just wonder if he'll have the passing touchdowns. But he does have his top wide receiver coming back in Colin Johnson. I do think being in Tom Herman's offense for a third year is going to be something that really he should be clicking on all cylinders here. I think he's got I don't know if he can be prolific enough. Now, it's not like the defenses are great in the conference, but I just don't know if he can be prolific enough to get into that category. Like, can he get to Manhattan? I think the Longhorns can win they got a shot to win at a pretty high level and beat Oklahoma now this year, although Jalen Hurts will be in there now. But So Lamb's coming back, but there's no Hollywood Brown. They lose, well, Rodney Anderson didn't play all last year anyway.
They
lose all the offensive line other than the center.
Calcaterra's back as tight end.
Yeah.
The top two running backs were back.
West Virginia's devastated. I mean, now TCU's always TCU. They pop up and then you got real problems with them from year to year. But I think this is the year and Matt Rule's doing a great job at Baylor. But this is the year the Longhorns have a chance to, I think, maybe stomp on the conference and really, you know, it might not be that crazy. I don't think he can win, but can he get to Manhattan? I think they got a great chance of getting the W's necessary, and he's a run-pass quarterback, so he's going to have touchdown number, total touchdown numbers, because even if he throws for – how many did he throw for last year?
32-something?
Way more
almost
than
33.
Way more than I realized.
Almost 33.
So you're going to have a guy who's got a chance to get into the 40 to 45 touchdown range. That's really – I guess that's not that crazy. It just feels – saying Sam Ehlinger Heisman feels weird.
It's not even just about Sam Ehlinger. The Texas doesn't – it doesn't feel like that offense is a prolific one. You watch them play from week to week, and it's a grinding style. I know the Tebow numbers, the name comes out because of, well, he's a big white guy who
runs. Well, against Big 12 defenses in year three of Tom Herman, this could be big.
We'll see. I would put him as – I wouldn't put him as a favorite. I would say you're a slight dark horse when you legit have Tua coming back. I mean, until proven otherwise, and Jalen Hurts can prove a little bit last year he can throw the football, who's to say Jalen Hurts doesn't have a ridiculous year against Big 12 defenses?
And it's funny.
So that's at least two guys already.
Right. He's in a different category, and we can talk about that on the other side right here. Current bid is at 2,000?
Yes.
2,000. Did you hear that, Ricky? 2,000. That's where we are right now. Jeff Van Gundy doubled us.
Well, yeah. You're just you.
It's currently at 2,000?
Yeah.
What the hell?
I hate people. Hey,
did your buddy – yeah, because your buddy didn't come in for you and drive the price up, did he?
Huh? No. No one drove our prices up.
Yeah. Your buddy didn't go, hey, John, I want to hang out with you for 1,000.
Yeah. Thanks, Rick. Okay. 713-780-3776. No, we're at 2,000, Rick. We're at 2,000, not 1,700. He's texting me. You don't have our phone number. 713-780-3776. The bid is at 2,000. Come on in if you want to have lunch with Jeff Van Gundy.
We will have a restaurant here by 9 o'clock. We'll tell you what the restaurant's going to be. And if it's going to be what I think it's going to be, you'll be very happy with it. We'll be happy with it.
Let the chef do it all.
We want to get you somewhere where you can also have some room to talk and all that stuff with Coach Van Gundy. But we got restaurant people here who are like, oh, yeah. I had one, Catherine Ross, who helps me out on this, said, how about something with a whiskey taste? Hey, this is a lunch.
That's all right.
This is a lunch.
I don't think Coach.
Jeff's not a drinker.
Jeff doesn't drink. But
I don't think Coach is a drinker.
I would get sloppy drunk at this.
That's why you're not invited.
Oh, no, Ricky just said 2,200. So there. Now we're already at 22.
That's fine. Every bit of it's
coming. How's that taste, whoever bid 2,000? How's that taste? Ricky said, what? Watch this. Bing, bing, bing. Right? Why don't you?
How about Ricky taste this? We're at 2,300.
Oh.
People need to stop tasting things and save it for the restaurant.
Okay.
You can taste things at the restaurant. Stop. Grown men need to stop telling other grown men to taste things.
That's ugly to be tasting things. Well, it is a food tasting.
Yeah,
okay.
That's
for 2,300 right now.
What if I told you, hey, taste this testosterone at Menstee Clinic?
Well, you don't taste testosterone.
Well, you don't taste it. I went yesterday. There was no taste. I got my treatment. I'm like, no, nothing. No taste. I did Mac on the Gatorade and the little treats they have here. Like pick up. They probably thought I was just supposed to have one granola bar, but I was like, this is my own personal little thing here. And I went, So
that's interesting.
That's a little thing. They don't really promote that necessarily. That's not part of the package that they offer you. But,
but it is.
That's just me doing what I just do best, Del, is taking advantage of a situation that they wanted me to take advantage of.
I thought what you did best was annoy people who cook food.
No, that's not at all what I do. It's a barbecuing, but that's something separate. Let's get to right now.
They didn't
now.
Have hamburgers there that Let's, you just...
No, if they would have, I would have grabbed one. Let's talk about Menstee Clinic. You know, if your testosterone level drops, it is going to have a significant impact on your energy level. And I want to focus on that for today because my energy level was terrible. And I just thought it was because I just wasn't getting sleep. And I mean, there was a lot of other reasons that it could have been. But when I went to Menstee Clinic and they wanted me to speak for it, I said, hey, why don't we test you, see where you are? Because we listen to the show. We know you're really fatigued. I'm like, yeah, I just don't get sleep. Ran the numbers and I was low. And they said, let's get you started. I got started right away. Within 3 days of the very first treatment, had a big boost in energy. And I tell you what, from there, I went on and lost 24 pounds and had the best summer I've had in well over a decade because your energy levels up, your lean muscle mass improves, and you just get your I don't want to say your juice back, but you get your energy and your life back. Live your best life with Men's T Clinic. Get the testosterone level back to where it should be and live your best life. Men'sTClinic.com. Find a location nearest you.
ESPN 97.5.
Houston is all systems go. We love our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star State. We're Texas proud and we shout it loud. Our brand of baseball is great. Our outfield has...
Well, he was behind a lot, and that's what I told him when I took him out of the game. Is he, you know, I was watching him, like a lot of young pitchers, where they're carrying one bad pitch into the next bad pitch, which into the next bad pitch, and that... it's a learning experience for him. He'll be better for it. I know he gets frustrated, especially coming off of the high walk game in Boston. That was probably on the front of his head. Like, he's just, I'm not going to walk guys. And then as he started falling behind, he started going to the middle of the strike zone. They got a couple hits, and there's a walk mix in there at the bottom of their order, which sets up the top of their order, and it just spiraled from there.
That was AJ talking about Corbin Martin last night. He's a young pitcher. They're gonna struggle. I mean, it's rare when they come in and they just dominate. So this is a good reason why this is the reason you bring him up early, so he gets through this,
yeah,
learns to be a major league pitcher, and by the time August and September roll around, you find out what you got, as opposed to just throwing him to the fire then. I got a text from Rick. He said, "Bleep you, Dell, 2400. How about now?
No.
Yeah.
Now you got How people taking shots at you.
I'm all about ProVision. If I have to agitate one of your buddies to pay more, that's fine with me. I'm just here for ProVision. I hope someone...
Why don't most of my friends always say, "Bleep, Dell"?
Because most of your friends are like you and don't like to be challenged by superior intellect.
Huh. I don't think that's it at all,
yes,
as a matter of fact.
See, and I hope that... I hope that triggers another
quite
one of them.
The opposite.
Oh, of course you would think so, because you're inferior intellect. You would think that
superior intellect that can discern how intelligent people are, as opposed to you.
I've seen some of your friends don't seem so superior.
I know some of my friends.
Yeah.
But Ricky's a smart, sharp guy.
I imagine he would be. But all I'm trying to do is get ProVision's bag up. That's all.
That's all.
So if Ricky is agitated by my comments, good. Send some more money in.
2400 right now. 2400. Ricky's got it. 713-780-377. I guess we'll keep it going until it goes no further. So if you want to have lunch with Jeff Van Gundy, how about that? All right. 852 ESPN 97.5. Derek wants to get in here and talk Heisman. What do you say, Derek?
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing, man?
Hey, good. Was just thinking the Heisman and everything, but what kind of pro quarterback do y'all think Ellinger could be?
See, that's the difference. And I think you if you're going to look at him, and he's a prototypical college quarterback.
I call him Longhorn Bucky because he reminds me of Bucky.
Bucky Richardson.
Bucky Richardson. Although I do think he's got a chance to be a better passer. I'm going to study him a little this summer, but not very long, because I don't see him coming out early, so I can't waste too much time on it. But, you know, he's really big. Like, he's 237. He's very well put together. So size-wise is good. I want to study the arm. I like the mobility. I want to see how he – because Sam Darnold's not a small guy either. He's actually Sam Darnold size. But I would tell you right now, I don't see him as a – I see him as like a day three quarterback. Like a my guess would be maybe fifth, sixth type guy, just from watching on TV and not really paying, you know, paying attention draft wise. But his size will be good. I need to check the arm talent, stuff like that. Need to go see how he's reading defenses. But he's very physically tough. He has the ability to threaten you outside the pocket. There are some things that you like about him. I just want to go get into the minutia.
I'm trying to think of a comp. I think Bucky's a good comp.
I mean, that's the kind of player he is. He is that kind of really mentally tough guy. Well, because he's not a pocket passer.
No.
So it's hard to find guys who aren't pocket passers in the league, because those guys are usually like
even a college
runner.
Comp.
He's not a shifty runner. He's a very physical runner.
No, Bucky makes a lot of sense from a comp standpoint. You know who else? Actually, he's got some JT Barrett. I think he's got some of the similarities of running an offense like JT Barrett did. Although I would say I'm pretty sure he's bigger than JT Barrett.
Yeah, that's not a. You're going back to your NFL Network. We got to find.
No, it's the same. We got to find
an African American comp for a white guy.
Well, why do we have to find a white guy? I'm just trying to find a guy who's a dual threat. It's the same offense. Ohio State's is the same as what he was doing. And he's got JT Barrett's smaller than him. Because he was like 218, I think. It's hard to find guys who are that size.
I don't know. Dell, can you think of a comp to Ellinger? I think Bucky's the perfect comp.
I didn't see Bucky play, so it's hard for me to make that.
Ricky said, how about this? Tell Urkel to zip it.
hey, Ricky, let me tell you this. Now it's at 2,500, so get your bag up, Ricky. Get your bag up, Ricky.
Dell just shot back at Ricky. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, we could play this game all day. Maybe I get Ricky to 3,500. I don't care.
What you better have that other guy better be having his bag.
Well, I know the guy. I'm not making up. The intern came in, so we're at 2,500 right now.
Young Friday,
yeah.
Young Friday came in.
2,500, Ricky.
I hope that dude's got his bag because I know Ricky does.
Well, let's see what Ricky's got.
We'll see. I think we've almost got a. As soon as I get the go ahead here, it's going to be one of two restaurants, either State of Grace or Eunice. Either one's going to be.
Oh, those are both awesome.
Both awesome.
Both awesome.
Both awesome. Food's great. Chefs are great. Bobby Matos is one of the coolest guys out there. He's my daughter's little league coach, as a matter of fact. And he's a really good chef. But he's a big sports fan, too. And in Eunice, Cajun food is fantastic. You've been to both of them, too. We've both been to both of them. So those are both
good spots. By the way, here's the second tier. These players include some all-conference selections and a few fringe Heisman contenders. Derek King is number one on the list. Mason Fine, Adrian Martinez from Nebraska, Ian Book, blah, blah. Kellen Mond is on this list. There are 10 of them. But De'Aaron King getting some love as rightfully so.
He's going to, well, yeah, he should shine. Well,
see, De'Aaron King reminds me more
of. But Dana doesn't ask as much running of his quarterback.
No, he doesn't. But so far in his career, De'Aaron King reminds me more of JT Barrett.
Boy, he's a phenomenal. This guy's also a wide receiver. Like he plays, can play two positions. That's why I don't know how he fits with Dana's offense. I just know Dana's offense is prolific, and whoever is the trigger puller is going to do well.
He had a runner in the little guy at West Virginia. What was his name?
He wasn't there for Pat.
No. Just a couple of years ago.
Skylar Howard.
Skylar Howard.
De'Aaron King's a more athletic guy.
But Skylar Howard ran a lot.
Yeah. I just know. De'Aaron King's the more dynamic.
No, absolutely. Yeah. No, but I'm just saying he had a runner.
Yeah, we'll
see. It's not just this
Dana can adapt.
It ain't the same as the Texas Tech offense. Dana will adapt. Don't worry, he's going to use De'Aaron King.
Oh, no, I watched him adapt where he started running the ball more. Mm-hmm. Like, he is one of those guys who does adapt. It's rare that those wide open passing guys, you start to put them in there, and they're usually notoriously stubborn. Dana actually changed him more. Like, he would run the ball at people. When I watch tape on them, he makes changes.
Dana ran the ball 50% of the time. The last few years, it's a misconception that, that it's a wide open. He's not running Texas Tech's offense. They run the ball a ton.
Can you believe, what was happening to Milwaukee?
Yeah, but wait a minute. Ricky says, bleep you again, Dell. 2,800.
I don't care.
Yeah.
It's not,
how about that?
As long as Ricky's agitated and ProVision keeps getting money, keeps it in text.
Let me give you guys, let's set it up also. We're going to do dinner for four. So you got dinner for four coming. Or rather, lunch for four. It's going to be a lunch. Lunch for four. You and three of your buddies. You're going to be with Jeff Van Gundy. It's probably going to last a couple hours, to be honest with you, because the stories, the food, the stories, you're going to have it at one of it's going to be one of two different really good restaurants here. We'll let you know exactly what it is by the end of the day for sure, or by the end of the show, before the end of the show. John will keep mentioning it even when I'm off. This is a great chance. You can write it off, and it's for ProVision. They take at-risk kids and give them a chance to go to school. And Roynell Young, who's a former NFL safety, runs it almost like Joe Clark from Lean On Me, and he's that kind of guy. They've got an urban farm that they sell these fantastic
produce. They sell to local restaurants. It's a really, you hear about farm to table. This is literally farm to table.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the many things that they do. So it's something Jeff Van Gundy's been a big part of for about a decade now. And we're really happy that we're continuing to raise money. But a lunch with Jeff Van Gundy, you can put a price tag on it when you pay it. But really, it is a priceless opportunity to hear great stories. And I can give you some heads up. If you hit me up on Twitter, send me a direct message, I'll say, ask about this, 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 and this. Because
mm-hmm.
It's not like listen. This is what I never hear Jeff Van Gundy say, oh, I really shouldn't talk about that.
No. You know what? Ask about that Knicks team. Okay?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And just that. Ask about Larry Johnson. Just ask about that and see how much fun you have. And oh my God, Derek Mason, and oh my goodness, what a team Jeff Van Gundy had. So it's at 2,800 right now. Ricky Harmon is in with that. And if anybody else wants to bid it up, 713-780-3776 is the number. All right, 9 o'clock, ESPN 97.5. No Raheel today, so
what?
It's just, yeah. He's on. No, he's not dead.
Oh my God, that was close.
No, he didn't die.
Okay.
Why didn't he get
in trouble from Nishma yesterday?
Well, I know he probably got in trouble from Nishma, but
no, she doesn't hear anything because
I don't see Nishma as a killer.
He speaks so recklessly. Well, then you're going to be. I think I can stay till 10.
Raheel is Well, that leaves no spot for Jose because Jose's coming in here. Whatever, I don't care.
No, no. Why don't you just sit right next to me?
I don't want to. I don't want
all day long.
I don't want to be anywhere near you. Raheel is celebrating Memorial Day weekend by having a beach weekend. He was at the beach. I think he's hanging out with Jackie.
With his Jeep? Was he in his Jeep?
No, that was last week.
Oh, okay.
Where all the destruction happened.
I saw some of those fights. I'm like, Jeep guys wanting to fight was not a huge surprise.
Mm-mm.
That wasn't
huge. Hey, you know what else is? Listen, what is it? It's prom season, weddings, obviously always birthdays going on. Mother's Day just passed, but Father's Day is coming up. Maybe you want to get Dad some kind of jewelry because he's got men's jewelry as well. We always talk about
moms. What about a pinky ring? Can Dad get a pinky ring?
Okay. Absolutely, you can get a pinky ring. You want to get your dad a pinky ring, you can do that. All at Klein's Jewelry. KleinsJewelry.org. 5868 Westheimer, 832-316-1388. Mark will quote you over the phone. And this is another one of those compare things. You compare what you're going to pay at one of these really, really expensive jewelry stores. You compare that to what you're going to get, that same piece of jewelry at Klein's. And I'm telling you right now, you are going to win at Klein's. You are going to win. Mark does it. He manufactures the jewelry right there. He always says, I'm a manufacturer in a retail store. And it is obvious when you see the prices. I've gotten my wife so much stuff from him and paid so little, and you will be able to take advantage of them is what you do. 5868 Westheimer, right there at Fountain View in Westheimer, right in that mall, right Houston's and Jason's Deli, right there. 832-316-1388. Mark Klein is ready for you to call him, and he will. No other jeweler is going to quote you over the phone. He will do that. Everything that you could possibly need in jewelry, one place. It's KleinsJewelry.org.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.